Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast for Sports Time 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wimu. Speaking to you after the Toronto Raptors. I mean, forget the score. The Raptors lose 104-88 to the Boston Celtics. Forget the score for a second, okay? Because the Raptors had no business losing this game, period. I don't care what you break this down in terms of just, you know, the execution, in terms of the scheme, all this other stuff. The Raptors had no business losing this game. You have no Jaylen Brown on that side. You have Jason Tatum shooting 8 of 24. And the Raptors just blew this game over and over and over again. I'm not saying that it's easy to play on the road in TD Garden. I'm not saying that, although they had been winless at home before this. But still, not saying that, okay? But this was pathetic by the Raptors. And they should be ashamed of themselves because they blew a game that was fully in hand for them. Not just because of the situation, but because the Celtics didn't even play that well as a group. But where the Raptors lost this game was on the things that they won the game the last time they went to Boston. Offensive rebounding. How many times did Robert Williams grab the offensive rebound? It's 8. I'm looking at the box score. 8 offensive rebounds for one man. And how many times was he putting it right back in for a layup? That's inexcusable. The Raptors won so many games at the start of the season because they were winning the possession battle. Offensive rebounds, turnovers, deflections, all that stuff. Look at this game tonight. 12 offensive rebounds for the Celtics, 6 for the Raptors. So they lose the offensive rebounding battle. 18 turnovers for the Raptors. What is going on for this team to have 18 turnovers? They barely pass the ball. How do you even turn the ball over 18 times? You don't even pass it 18 times. The sloppiness from the Raptors tonight, they should be ashamed. And Nick Nurse should be screaming at his team right now, like I'm screaming into this microphone, because they gave that one away. That was a horrible effort by the Raptors. Unbelievable. It's actually unbelievable. The whole entire game, you watch this game, you watch at the start of this game, you're like, well, it's not great. The Celtics have like, I don't know, 6 putback baskets in the first quarter. It's not great. But let's see if the Raptors turn it around. They never do in this entire game because they could not get their execution in this game was just so poor on both ends of the floor. And just the amount of unforced errors from this group. Of course, early on, it's really the offensive rebounding that hurts them, okay? Not only that, but they keep leaving three-point shooters wide open to double Jason Tatum, which I get it. Jason Tatum's dangerous, okay? And, you know, no Jaylen Brown. Let's double Jason Tatum. But let's not leave the corner shooter wide open over and over and over again. It's a walk in the park for many players in the NBA to hit a wide-open corner three. And the Raptors just kept leaving them open. Celtics 33 points in the first quarter. They're off and running. And then the rotations in this game from Nick Nurse, atrocious as well. Because what are you doing in a group that is entirely, you have a team that is entirely 6'9" guys. Why is there any situation where there is Fred VanVleet, Malachi Flynn, and Svi Mihailuk on the floor at the same time? Your three smallest players in the rotation. Why? Why? You put them in the game, all of a sudden the Celtics get two wide open transition or two uncontested layups right at the basket. You can't even contest because these guys are so small. And there's no reason for the Raptors to be small because you shouldn't be playing a small lineup in the first place. Malachi Flynn, 6 minutes minus 9. It's not Malachi's fault, but it just didn't make sense in that lineup. Okay, second quarter, squandered because of that. Third quarter, Raptors come out, play some decent defense for the first time all game, create some deflections. OG runs it, you know, tips it out for a transition dunk. Pascal tips it out. Raptors get out and score. Fred, you know, bails out a possession where Robert Williams is about to throw down his 50th dunk of the game, uncontested. He swipes in. The Raptors go the other way for a dunk. Some decent possessions in the third quarter. But then, just completely squandered by putting Chris Boucher in the game. I don't know where to go with this Chris Boucher thing because we have talked about Chris Boucher so often for a guy who really doesn't matter like that. But it's the sheer, and I don't use this word lightly, it's the sheer mind-numbing mistakes from a guy who's a veteran on the team. He's about as old as anybody on the team. He's in his fourth season with the Raptors. Not a lot of the players on the Raptors right now that have 4 seasons under the belt, okay? Fourth season on the team, comes in, end of the third quarter, just by 1 minute. Just by 1 minute for the Raptors. Please, just 1 single minute. And this is what happens in that 1 minute. An air ball three. A possession where he double dribbles, even though he's not being pressured, really. Just doubles dribbles the ball. Just bring the ball up the floor, double dribbles. Turnover. Then next play down, he's overhelping, has to leave his feet to close out. Surprise, surprise, Chris Boucher left his feet to close out on Josh Richardson. Josh Richardson blows past. Luckily, the Raptors were able to get the steal. I believe Donald Banton gets a steal. The Raptors go the other way. OG Anunoby dunks the ball. Fantastic play right before the end of the third quarter. But there's still 5 seconds left in the shot clock for the Celtics to go the entire length of the floor and score. Which shouldn't happen, except the ball is inbounded to Josh Richardson. And I'm not even kidding you. With 5 seconds left in the quarter, Chris Boucher runs a dead sprint, leaves his feet, and vaults. And he just flies at the ball at half court. What are you doing? What is going through your mind? What possesses you to do that? And of course, Josh Richardson's just able to go right to the rim after that. Because for some reason, 45 feet from the basket, Chris decides to just... I don't even understand. So clearly, he gets benched, okay? But seriously, that's on Nick. You can't even play this man 1 minute right now. You can't trust this man with 1 minute. They go in the fourth quarter. They start the fourth quarter, back-to-back turnovers. And the rest of the game, they don't even sniff anywhere near a one-possession game, a two-possession game. And it's not like the Celtics were playing that great. I'll give the Celtics credit because they moved the ball around for a couple of possessions. Schroeder did a good job in the fourth quarter, although he did have 8 turnovers. You know, like Marcus Smart, you know, made 3 or 4 smart, trick-the-ref kind of plays. Jason Tatum made some nice plays. Robert Williams, obviously a big factor to handle down low. Raptors had no size to match him. But it's inexcusable the mistakes the Raptors made. And then Precious Achiuwa, who has not been getting minutes, and he's been demoted from the starting five, gets to play 25 minutes tonight, gives you 3 points. Honestly, some of the defense was pretty good, so I really don't want to slag him on that end. He was decent. But to me, my frustration with Precious Achiuwa, can you try the hit-ahead pass one time? Because there's one play, he strips the guy at the top of the floor. Fantastic play. Svi Mihailuk is running ahead. All you do is pass him the ball. But instead, he tries to keep the ball, drives in, gets a strip. Why? I understand you haven't scored this game, or you only have 3 points this game. This must be frustrating. But you make the team play. You've already done a good job of stripping the ball. Just advance the play. You know what is also on the box score? Assists. Pass the ball ahead. And the next play down, Svi is running the fast break. Precious is on one wing. Pascal is running the trailer. And instead of giving it to Precious for the dunk, Svi's like, well, you didn't pass it to me last time. I'm going to give it to Pascal here in the trailer. And Pascal, I forgot if he got to the free throw line or if he got stripped, but still a less than optimal outcome for the transition play. It was that kind of play, boneheaded plays from the Raptors all night. And that's why the Raptors lost this game. They should be frustrated. It's not like the Celtics played a fantastic game. It's not. It really isn't. The Raptors just kept shooting themselves in the foot. And so I had to get that off my chest before we get to the callers, because I'm flabbergasted watching this game. I'm flabbergasted. So you can call us at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Once again, that's 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, *590 is on your cell phone. I would love to hear your thoughts on this game because it's a tough one. You can also text us at 590-590. Just add your name and your location, and we'll get to it on the show. But first, let's go to Vitaly from Moscow. Vitaly, man, what? I can't believe you're staying up late to watch this kind of effort from the Raptors.
So I'm still in Seattle. So actually, it's okay. just past 7. But you know, I think maybe more than anything, you know, people want to go tough on Siakam. It's his second game back, still building chemistry, but. You know, you hit the nail on the head. I looked at some of your tweets. Boucher was killing us. I think we learned just how valuable Cambridge is, because traditionally and functionally what we need them to do, we have one real center in this game. one real center on this team, I should say, and that's Cam Birch. So we miss him dearly. It's unfortunate he's not going to play tomorrow. I'm not going to go full big fraud, but you remember on the Spurs, they had the Twin Towers. They had Tim Duncan, David Robinson. Well, we have a very special lineup on the Raptors. It's with Chris Boucher and Precious Achiuwa. I call them the Twin Cowards.
Wow. That's Vitaly, this is why I respect you so much, man. what did you think of their play tonight, man? Because I don't understand what is going through their minds when they decide to make decisions on a basketball floor. You know?
You mentioned that Precious, he had good effort on defense. The IQ was okay. I don't know why they have to force it so much. I know Boucher is on a contract year. The turnovers, like you said, the lack of vision, the hit-ahead passes, they're just trying to do too much. They're not playing in the flow of the game. They're not playing a team game. And, you know, we have the best coach in the league. So I'm sure they're getting good coaching. It's just it's a lapse of judgment. It's terrible habits. It's muscle memory. I don't know how you teach it. At a certain point, Boucher, he's on, you know, his last leg. We've given him so many chances, and he continues to disappoint. And I know you and Boucher have history. You probably won't be best man at his wedding, and it hurts for you to go this hard at him. But it's just, you know, I'm like a. Like an immigrant father, you know, very disappointing.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I feel bad in a way because, like I said on top, he's not actually that important to this team to go that hard at the guy. It's not like Chris Boucher was the reason the Raptors lost today. It's just I can't understand what he's doing out there. I can understand if you move the ball and then it's a shooter and they miss. Right? There was a lot of that with OG today, Gary Trent. These guys have been cold the last two games. Raptors shot 6 of 25 from 3. That's a way bigger reason for the Raptors losing. But I can't wrap my mind around mindless plays. Like, this team lost its head tonight. And it's disappointing, man. But, Vitaly, man, I appreciate you calling in. Better days ahead, hopefully.
Yes, hopefully big bounce back tomorrow, and we stay positive. We stay positive.
I appreciate you, Vitaly. Cheers. Yeah, Raptors play back-to-back tomorrow, right? So they just got to go into Philly. No Joel Embiid. Another game that you feel like you should win. But we'll see. If the Raptors play like this again, I doubt it. Let's go to Austin in Markham.
Hey, Lou, how are you?
Clearly not great.
I have to admit, I really agree with what you've been talking about.
Yeah.
It's been really good points. I guess for me, what I want to talk about is just the offense, just the spacing. Like, I strongly believe that you can't have Barnes and Pascal together, and you can't have Precious with Pascal, Precious with Barnes. Because it's just the whole time they were just at the paint, and then Fred could not attack the paint. OG could not attack the paint. There's just nothing. They can't do anything. That's why no one couldn't attack the paint. There's no passing at all the whole time.
Yeah. Okay. Fair. You know what? I hear you on that. The spacing is not ideal. I get you. But at the same time, were OG and Fred attacking the paint when it was Precious and Barnes out there? Because it's the same amount of spacing. Right? And I think a part of it is just the adjustment period right now with Pascal coming in. Not that Pascal is using that many possessions. I mean, he played 30 minutes tonight, took 7 shots. Turnovers, I guess. Mm-hmm. But, like, I think there's not the same ownership of the offense that Fred and OG had at the start of the season. They knew at the start of the season,
yeah, I agree.
It's us. You and I are going to attack every single possession. If you're going, you can go. Or I'm going to go, I can go. But, like, that's what's happening most times now. It feels like right now, like, almost every single person on the Raptors is trying to, like, initiate the offense. And it looks really awkward to me. Gary Trent will break the flow of the offense. Honestly, I think Gary plays okay. Really just got to knock down that three. OG still has his moments, but we've seen OG more aggressive than the game that he played tonight. We've seen Scotty more aggressive. Nick Nurse tells him to take more shots. He took 11 shots, got to the free throw line 8 times. That's good. But you still want more from him.
Yeah, he was good. Like, I just felt like if Barnes and Pascal are together, they just clog the paint, and then the whole time their defenders are clogging the paint, and there's no room to go anywhere the whole time.
Well, that's fair. But, I mean, look, if those guys are clogging the paint and they're sagging back, use one of them to screen. At least then you create a 2-on-1 on the screen, right, for Fred to pull up maybe, or at least get to the mid-range. We've seen Fred do a good job of that. Like, there's ways to attack that. And I think there's just a lack of organization on this team.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That has to be reworked. Oh, man, it was horrible, especially the defense.
Defensively, I don't know what they were doing. At first, they were just triple-teaming Jason Tatum. I mean, like, how much respect can you give to the guy, man?
Exactly. There was no help defense either. Just, oh, one person does it, and they just leave Williams open every time for put-back dunk or offensive rebound.
Yeah, it was a bad game. I appreciate the call, Austin.
No problem. Thank
you. Yeah, no shortage of frustrations in this game. I feel like the Raptors could have played a lot more out of the post tonight as well. I thought that was the only time the Raptors looked reasonably calm in the half-court setting. I thought Scotty did a good job of that in the post. He made a couple of nice passes out of there. OG played out of the post once or twice, made a couple of good plays out of there. Pascal can play in the post a little bit, although today didn't really see him do that much of it. But that I think especially in games where your half-court offense is a little sticky, and I feel like the Raptors had that tonight, you know, operate a little bit more out of the post. I understand that, like, statistically speaking, post-ups are not the greatest, like, points per possession, like, value per play. But at the same time, it brings a level of organization when you can create a situation where you're touching the paint, drawing two, and then kicking it out. I think that could help the Raptors shoot a better percentage from three. 6 of 25 tonight. First off, 25 is not enough threes in a modern NBA game. But second of all, I didn't feel like they got that many great looks. Not enough, at least. OG only taking 4 threes. Yeah, he didn't make any. But, like, OG should be taking, like, 8-9 threes a game. And the fact that he only got even 4 attempts off is an indication to me that the movement was not strong enough for the Raptors, the organization, the offense. There's a lot to go over in this game. This is disappointing. Like, you're just, at this point, you're just wasting fuel to fly this team to Boston to play this game. Why? They didn't show up. Why did you do that? Why did I waste time to watch this game for 3 hours? Why did you waste time to watch this game for 3 hours? That's not an acceptable effort from the Raptors. I'm not happy with that. I'm sure Nick is not happy with that. And I expect this team to bounce back if they have some character tomorrow night. Let's go to Mac in Toronto.
Hey, Will, how's it going? I just wanted to ask about some Jonesy comments there in the third and fourth quarter. He's kind of going off on the refs, and just never seems we ever get that review call to go our way. I was just wondering what your thoughts were on that. And I also was just going to mention games like this make me really miss the Lithuanian Lightning of JV on the court. Really miss that big man. Anyways, I'll hang up and listen to you.
All right. Yeah, the play review you're talking about was Scotty Barnes getting back in transition. Josh Richardson going up for a shot. I thought it was a clean strip. The replay looked like a clean strip. I mean, Scotty gets the ball. And, I mean, I don't know, the follow-through, because Josh Richardson is jumping up. Follow-through, there's some hand-on-hand, but, like, I mean, first off, what happened to ball is part of the hand. And second of all, if you strip the ball first, I don't care what they do with their hands afterwards. So I don't understand that call. I don't know what the ref said to the official or to Nick Nurse. I don't think Nick was very happy with that call. But to me, the thing I'm frustrated with is that Scotty Barnes keeps getting limited by foul trouble. And part of that is on him. There's a couple of cheap fouls that he'll give away. But the other part is just he's getting a bad whistle. I think that's I don't understand that one. I totally get Nick challenging that play, not only because I thought it was clean, but because your Scotty is that important to this team. And Scotty tonight, 32 minutes because of that. After he picks that fourth foul, he goes to the bench, and he doesn't come back in until 6 minutes left in the fourth. And you know what? To hold Scotty accountable, he had 2 silly turnovers in the fourth quarter that while the Raptors trying to come back. You know, I don't blame him because he was not the only guy making mistakes, but, you know, that has been pointed out. That being said, though, on the whole, Scotty was the Raptors' best player tonight. And he only played 32 minutes. There needs to be more of that. I don't care if he got 4 fouls. I don't care if this is back-to-back tomorrow. He's 20 years old. Play him more. And honestly, the referee on that play, I really don't understand why when they looked at it on a replay like the rest of us sitting at home, the ball's getting stripped by Scotty's hand. There was not a foul on that play. And then I forgot the second half of the question, to be honest. I'm sorry. I'm not seeing straight right now. I'm clearly very frustrated with this game. So, yeah, not great. Not great. Let's go to Daniel from Toronto.
Hey, Will, how are you?
I'm hanging in there. How are you doing?
Good, good. His second half of the question was the Lithuania Lightning question. Basically, if they had a guy like JV, if they had a guy like JV sitting in the middle, would that have helped them?
I would have taken just Ken Burch sitting in the middle today.
I would have also. Listen, Will, first of all, I want to tell you that I really enjoyed your talk with Michael Grange today. I had a different perspective of him before I heard that today. Let's just put it that way. Yeah, okay. I felt that some of his writings over the last, call it, let's say, 15, 17 years are sometimes pessimistic, I found, even though he's a great basketball writer. But your personal conversation with him really changed me a little bit, my view on him. So thank you. I appreciate it.
All right. Well, no, really, Grange should be thanking you, but no. So.
In any case, just a few points. First of all, I totally agree with what you said about, drawing a double team in the paint. It doesn't always have to amount to a basket just because you post up. Sometimes the objective is to draw defenders, to find guys that are sitting on the three-point line to kick the ball out to, even mid-range jumpers. People don't understand that. They think that no matter what, when you get the ball inside, you have to go right up with it, but you don't. You got to look for guys cutting, which is a great thing that Gasol did for all those years, right? Always found guys cutting to the hole. That's number one. I think that they turned the ball over way too much tonight. You got to protect the basketball in this league. You can't be turning over the ball that much. And in that fashion, there were some giveaways where they were just that, giveaways. You were talking about them going to the paint and driving a lot, which is great. But when you drive and you end up underneath the basket with two defenders on you, you're going to turn over the ball by trying to throw it to somebody that you can't see. That hurt them a lot tonight. That, just my opinion. I also thought Robert Williams III killed them. They let him box him. They let him box them out on every rebound that he had a chance at. He got his hands on everything, and he was putting it back for putbacks, as opposed to the Raptors, who would get second chance points here and there, but not finish. I mean, they missed a lot of bunnies, also, right? And like you said, the 3-point shot was non-existent. I don't know what happened to Fred tonight. I have no idea. But you can't win in this league if you're not going to shoot from three and at least hit, I don't know, let's say 10, 11 threes. Otherwise, you're not going to be able to score, and hence the low score for the Raptors. But for me, the turnovers were the biggest deal tonight.
Absolutely. And this is not a turnover prone team. Like, even the last game against the Nets, where the Raptors offense didn't look good, the Raptors had like 8 turnovers in that whole game. The Raptors have done a really good job winning the possession battle. And the Celtics were sloppy tonight as well. Like, literally their point guard Schroeder had 8 turnovers. That's pretty sloppy to me. But the Raptors had 18 turnovers. There's no reason for that. Like, every single player in the starting lineup had at least 2 turnovers, 2 for Gary, 2 for Fred, 3 for Scotty, 3 for OG, 4 for Pascal. That's just not acceptable from your starters, who are supposed to set a tone for you. Like,
I totally agree with you. Like, I'd rather them go deep into the shot clock and maybe miss a shot with 4 seconds left than give the ball right back to the other team and let them get on in a fast break, right? Like,
yeah, exactly. So, I mean, look, it's disappointing. Like, I understand the Celtics are a tough opponent. They haven't even played that well this season, but since that players-only meeting, they've at least gotten it back together. Today was obviously a much more comprehensive effort than when the Raptors first played them at home, but the Raptors are better than this, and they played way below their level. And I think, honestly, like, it should be a very quiet team flight, like when they fly over to Philly. That should be a very quiet hour as they sort of reflect on what they did today.
One last question. Yeah. Well, do they not press in the fourth quarter as much as they did in a couple other games when they experimented with it, just because the Celtics are more athletic?
I'm not really sure, to be honest. I think they did try it one possession, and I think Marcus Smart really knocked down a three, but I mean, like, to be honest, the execution of the press was not very strong. And I think that, to me, it just looked like they just lacked energy for whatever reason. I mean, I don't know why. The Raptors, I guess they're playing on the road, but still, the Nets game was on Sunday. It was 3:30 on Sunday they played, so the game's over at 6. Okay, from then until now, that's 3 full days. They got to be better than this. I don't know. It's just a no-show. This is why I can never be a coach. I'd be bald within like a year. So try to keep my hair as long as I can. So, Daniel, thank you for the call, man.
Thank you, my friend. Appreciate it. Take care.
All right. It's a frustrating effort from the Raptors tonight. And, I think, for people who watch this game and wondered what the Raptors are doing, I'm with you. Like, I'm with you. I almost, it's hard to analyze this game because they just kept playing senseless basketball. How do you make sense of just complete nonsense for the Raptors tonight as they lost 104-88 against the Boston Celtics? We are going to take more calls on the other side of this break. But in the meantime, you can call us at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. Or, of course, if you don't want to call in, you can text us at 590-590. Just add your name and your location. I need to drink some water and cool off. So on the other side of this break, we're going to take more calls and more texts. So stay with us. Welcome back to the Raptors Reaction Podcast on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. I'm your host, Wayne Liu. Continuing to recap the Raptors' frustrating 104-88 loss to the Boston Celtics. Look, every loss to the Celtics is frustrating. I think Toronto sports has collectively struggled against the city of Boston. Let's just say that. But yeah, there was no reason for the Raptors to be losing like this tonight. Not even competitive in this game. You could say maybe there was effort. You know, I guess Chris Boucher closing out to Josh Richardson at half court with 5 seconds left before the quarter ends is effort. But effort doesn't really mean much without brains, really. And a lot of, you know, silly plays with the Raptors all night from lots of guys. Precious, definitely guilty of some. Pascal with the turnovers is not good, you know. Nurse, I don't think he had a good game. So a lot to discuss. And you can, of course, call into the show and give your opinion and share your thoughts at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590, *590 on your cell phone. And if you don't want to put your voice on the radio, you can always text us at least at 590-590. So let's go to Fatah in Ottawa.
Hey, what's going on, Will?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Not too much. I don't even know why I asked you, because I'm probably sure you're on the same boat as me. What an ugly, ugly loss. I mean, I didn't know that after game 12 of the regular season, I was going to step out of my house to decompress like Kyle Lowry. But that's another story for another day. But anywho, though, I wanted to discuss a couple things. One is the Raptors doubling Jason Tatum and allowing those Romeo Langford threes. Like, I mean, those were just so annoying. And I don't know why we have to do that, of course. But, you know, for us having plus defenders on the floor, I believe that we can guard straight up one-on-one. But those Romeo Langford threes, I mean, those were pretty momentum-shifting shots that ultimately, you know, put the Raptors behind the eight ball there. I just want to get your thoughts on the Raptors' defensive schemes tonight.
I didn't understand it. The Raptors have a habit of doing this, especially to Boston. The Celtics have beaten the Raptors quite a bit over the last few years, mostly because they keep finding the corner shooter because they know exactly how to bait the Raptors into extra defenders swarming the paint. And this happened way too often in this game. But especially, as you said, those back-to-back Romeo Langford threes. There's no excuse for that. Listen, if you want to build your roster full of defenders, I fully support that. I love that the team is built on defense.
Right.
Let the players play some defense then. One-on-one, like, look at today. There was a play, not even Tatum, okay? Because we know Tatum is capable of scoring like a superstar. Al Horford posting up Scottie Barnes. Why are you doubling the post there? Why?
No,
you know, and then giving up a wide open three. It's like, what are you doing? And look, the Celtics didn't even shoot the three well tonight. Like 10 of 29 is like below average. But the Raptors still got burned on that stuff. Like, there's just no sense in doing that. It didn't make any sense to me. So, yes, I agree with you. I don't understand what they were doing defensively. I think you wanted to get something off your chest about Precious as well.
Yeah. AKA Princess Achiuwa, like my buddy would say.
Oh, come on. Come on.
But, honestly,
that's not good, man.
It's just like, I don't know what's going on with him. I thought maybe it could be just an adjustment thing with him. Obviously, being a part of the Raptors organization, kind of getting understanding to Nick Nurse's, you know, janky schemes, I thought that might take a bit of time. But I don't know, like you mentioned, it's the mindless plays that makes things so frustrating as a Raptors fan. You know, him running up the court like he's like a point guard, I simply don't understand it. I mean, you know, Spee's running down the fast break. We could have got an easy two-handed dunk, two-handed 360, may I add. But I don't know, he just decided he wanted to pick the ball up the floor and think like he's like, you know, like it's just a point guard straight up. And I just don't understand that. And then on top of that, I'd understand Nick Nurse's lineups during the course of the game. Like I saw Chris Boucher come in. I think we had Spee and Banton a little out for too long in the fourth quarter there. I thought Scotty Barnes should have been in there despite the foul trouble. Yeah, it's just an all-around mess, and I hope that they're able to turn things around because they got to open up a new leaf because we got Philly tomorrow with no Embiid, no Simmons, no Harris. I mean, it's a must-win in this regard.
Yeah, I don't know about must-win, but and thank you for the call, by the way. But yeah, listen, we can criticize Precious. I don't really like that nickname, to be honest. It's not fun to me. But I see what you're saying, man, because it's not even – look, at any level of basketball, if it's a two-on-one and one guy's ahead of the play, you pass the ball. It's not even about Precious trying to be a point guard or Precious trying to flex that he has the handles to run in transition. That's cool to me, man. I like that Precious can, you know, push the break a little bit. I don't care who that is. That could be Fred VanVleet. In that situation, that could be Malachi Flynn, that could be Delano Banton, guys who can handle the ball, take it to the other floor. I don't care about that. You advance the ball, period. 100% of the time, you advance the ball. Because guess what? Even if you advance the ball and Josh Richardson has to play catch up, maybe he tries to take a foul on Spee. All Spee does is just throw a lob and Precious is dunking the ball. And all of a sudden, we're saying, what a great play from Precious Achiuwa. Because he just stripped the ball, created the turnover, got it back and finished the dunk. And the Raptors have a energy play, a momentum shifting kind of play that, you know, who knows how that affects at least the momentum of the team, the spirit of the team, the enthusiasm of the team. But instead, it completely goes to waste. And then the next play down, Spee has the ball running the break and he doesn't give it to Precious this time because why would you give it to Precious? He just stiffed me. I'm not gonna give it up. I'll give it to Pascal. The ball gets stripped out of bounds by Josh Richardson, which, by the way, two great plays by Josh Richardson in transition. Regardless, he shouldn't even be in position to make those plays if the Raptors just make simple basketball plays. At no level of basketball would you be happy with that. I'm sorry, but at no level of basketball would you be happy with that. And the Raptors are not good enough of a team offensively, especially when they're shooting 6 of 25 from 3, to squander transition opportunities. That's the only part of the offense that works great for the Raptors is transition offense. They get out in transition and they score. But if you don't make simple plays, like making a hit ahead pass, you're hopeless. And I hope the Raptors have a film session. Well, they're not practicing tomorrow, but a shoot around when they go through the film, you know, what they're going to do. Obviously, they're probably going to mostly focus on what Philly does and sort of shut down some of their shooters, whatever, and figure out what they're going to do with Drummond because Drummond's probably going to hurt this team just like Robert Williams III did. What did Robert have tonight? 16 and 13? Yeah, Drummond will have 16 and 13 tomorrow, no problem. I guarantee you. Unless Raptors, like, quadruple team him and leave, you know, a bunch of shooters open, which I do not advise. But I hope they take some time tomorrow to just look at, like, 10 minutes of film of the silly plays they made tonight. Because all that has to be erased. And on Nick, in particular, sort out the lineups. I don't know what this is, but it's ragged. Under no circumstances should there be a Fred Malachi Spee lineup. There's no excuse for that. There just isn't. That should never play. That can't run. None of that. And then the Boucher and Precious combo is not good for my health. And it's not good for anybody's health when they watch that. The amount of chaos in a bad way between the two of them, you at least just only have one of them on the floor, right? And I thought Precious, honestly, tonight did a really good job. Not even a really good job. He did a pretty decent job defensively. I thought he was the only thing you can't get on Precious for is at least he rebounded, right? Every single game Precious Achiuwa comes in, he's going to rebound. He's going to make plays. I thought defensively he was mostly fine, honestly. Three blocks, the steal, it's all good. The offense, leaves something to be desired. But at least if he's defending, I could excuse that. Boucher shouldn't get any minutes right now, period. And I don't care if Cam Birch is out. Shouldn't get any minutes the way he's playing. You can't even trust him for 1 minute. And when Yuta Watanabe finally comes back, and there's good news on that. Nick Nurse said that Yuta will be back at the end of the week, or by the end of the week. Yuta should come in and take those minutes. Because I just need somebody who can just make the right decisions. You can lose making the right decisions, of course. You know, there's teams with more quality than the Raptors. But to see them give up games like this is it's hard to stomach. In terms of the callers, we have some lines open, so definitely call in at 416-870-0590 or 1-888-666-0590 *590. But we do have some texts. This one, Murphy from Edmonton writes in, "Wow, do we miss Cam Birch? This game shows how much the Raptors need a real center. They had Robert Williams looking like prime Shaq. Who do you think is a realistic target for Masai?" This, by the way, sounds like a peak question from last year's Raptors, okay? Raptors, obviously, last year struggled playing without a center until they got Cam. And, of course, by that point, the season was over, so who cares? But, yeah, they missed Cam. I thought Cam would have played a big role in this game. Cam has been a big contributor on the offensive glass. Just like somebody to be responsible in the paint. Obviously, Pascal is not fully healthy yet, or not fully conditioned yet. I thought, honestly, he's been playing fine defensively. So a couple of plays I thought maybe allowed a little bit of a blow-by, or like maybe lacked like peak physicality, but positionally and stuff like that, he's okay. Clearly, he makes the right reads. But right now, without Cam, you have to play Precious 25, and you got to play Boucher 7, and that is just it's not cutting it. And of course, yes, you miss Cam. But then again, if you look at the bigger picture, with all due respect to Cam, who I really like, no team should rely that much on Cam Birch. It can't be like, if Cam Birch is not playing, then the Raptors can't win. I'm sorry, but a team construction has to be stronger than that. And that's one of the things with this team. Is like, you have all these forwards, you know, the length is good, but what are you doing at center? Because that is still the number one weakness on this team positionally. Just like it was last year. I'm not expecting everything to get solved in one summer, but I need to see that. I need to see that improved because, yeah. I mean, Robert Williams tonight, 16 points. Now, part of that is also the Raptors kept over-rotating, or they weren't able to contain the penetration. Guys had to step up, and then, you know, the ball swings around. Guys are in rotation. Shot goes up, and then he's in prime position to get the offensive rebound. You know, that's also part of it. It's not just like you have a center and then he boxes them out all the time. You know, obviously the playing defense is a five-man effort, but yeah, having a real center would really help. Pug from Toronto writes in, games like this really make you realize how important having a true center is. Robert Williams killed us. Can we make a call from Miles Turner already? So going back to that point about, well, who the Raptors can trade for, I mean, sure. If you want to trade for Miles Turner, I think Indiana would be willing to take a call. I feel like Miles Turner comes up in trade talks quite a bit. They have two centers that they start all the time. To me, if you want to play Miles, if you want to get Miles Turner, fine. You're going to have to give up, I think, some of the core pieces here. Like, I think at minimum to get him, you probably got to give up Gary Trent. And I don't fully know if I want to do that. It's not like one of those things you just give them Goran Dragic and Boucher and you just call it a day. Like, you have to give something real for Miles. And, yeah, and even if you get Miles, then you probably have to play more of a traditional drop-back scheme. I think the Raptors could be pretty successful doing that. Miles can also shoot the three a little bit. I wouldn't hate that. He's not the greatest rebounder either, though, but who knows? Maybe if he plays just only him as the center, maybe the rebounding improves. So, we also have Dill from Ajax writing in that we need better leadership from Fred. He needs to change the hierarchy on offense. This team is playing way too selfish out there, and I worry that it starts with Fred. Honestly, I don't know how you guys watched this game and thought Fred was too selfish tonight. If anything, I thought he wasn't selfish enough. I like the games where Fred and OG at the start of the season were taking the ownership and saying, we got this. This is how we're going to play. I'm option one. He's option two. and then we're going to sort of play through that. And the possessions, play after play, at least had some sort of order and hierarchy to it. I thought Fred was trying to play off the ball, trying to let Pascal cook, trying to let OG cook, trying to let Scotty cook, Gary cook. If anything, I wanted to see more of Fred owning the ball today, to be honest. And that's not saying I want Fred to, you know, have the ball like he's Trae Young or Steph Curry or something like that. He's not on that level. I understand that. Nobody wants him to be on that level, but or to have the ball at that much. But yeah, I mean, you know, I think that he has done a pretty good job this season of bringing order to the offense. Like, I don't need, like, for me, obviously you would want the highest points per possession play, like always, right? But I think also sometimes within the course of the game, you need to keep the ship steady. And when it gets, like, when your offense is going nowhere, let me see Fred calm it down, run three or four pick and rolls in a row, and see where it goes from there. But no, I don't think Fred was selfish. 14 shots in 36 minutes for a point guard, like, that's not selfish. And he played largely off the ball tonight. So let's go to our caller. We have Addy from Ottawa. Wants to talk about Chris Boucher, a very popular man on this program.
Hey, well, yeah, I just want to talk about Chris Boucher. I know he's been, like, awful this entire season. Even last year, I know he had a good season, but I don't know why people were hyping him up. Like, the guy doesn't know how to play basketball. He doesn't know how to dribble the ball. He always travels. He weighs, like, 150 pounds. Like, how did Chris Boucher make the NBA, and why does Nick Nurse just give him playing time is what I want to know.
Okay, well, I mean, look, I'm not going to put the guy down for making the NBA. Like, come on, man. I mean, he's skilled enough to be an NBA player. But why does Nick Nurse give him playing time right now? He's shown a lot of faith in Chris. I think two things, actually. One, the Raptors need a floor spacing big. All their bigs are purely in the paint. And that's just going to be really hard to play through. Like, it just is. It's going to cut off a lot of driving lanes. Even if you have a Ken Burch, for example, like, at least you can run pick and rolls with him so that if the defense drops or whatever, if he positions himself well, he can at least get open for the little short floater. He's done a good job. I have no complaints about Ken. But this team needs a spacing big. And really, Chris last year was a spacing big for this team, at least for the first, like, 2 months of the season. After that, he was, like, shooting, like, 27%. But, you know, on the whole, let's say he was a spacing big. And then the other thing is just, like, you know, the Raptors actually do need somebody come off the bench to be a big. And I mean, without Cam right now, you do have to at least try to get 5 minutes out of Chris, but it's tough right now, man.
I honestly think Precious Achiuwa, if he goes to the bench, I know he doesn't have, like, a good feel for the game, but I honestly think that he's good at, like, shooting jump shots, and I think he can space the floor a bit. Chris Boucher is just way too unreliable right now, I think. And also, he's just, I don't know why, but he just gambles so much on defense, and it's, like, super annoying just watching him get blown by.
He doesn't even come up with the ball. Like, at least, like, other guys gamble on this team. Don't get me wrong. Fred gambles, Gary gambles, OG gambles, right? Pascal probably gambles too. We just haven't seen them much of the season. But those guys gamble too. But, like, Gary leads the league in steals. And, like, Fred is really close in terms of deflections. OG is OG. Like, yeah, the kind of gamble Chris Boucher does is, like, 5 seconds left before the half, he's just going to, like, sprint out full speed at Josh. Like, I don't understand what is going through his head at that point, man.
So, and
it's tough, man. It's And I think it's in terms of the spacing, like, Boucher is at – so he was 0 for 2 from 3 tonight. None of them came close to going in. So that makes him 6 of 33 from 3 all season. So,
yeah, I mean –
there's not a lot of spacing for a guy who shoots 18%.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough to play him. I think, honestly, he should just be on the bench for the remainder of the season because, I don't know, man, like, he's super streaky, and I just think right now he's just out of it completely. So, yeah, thanks for taking my call, though.
No, thank you for calling in. I appreciate it. It's disappointing. And, again, he's not this important to the team, but when you lose games like this, there are frustrations we have. But I have to make it clear that, look, I think we needed to see a little bit more from Pascal tonight. I don't know how much he has physically. Like, for example, he's unlikely to play tomorrow in Philadelphia, second game of a back-to-back. Makes sense. You know, I would rest him too. But even when he is in, like, what is the hierarchy going to be? Like, who is getting the ball? Like, you know what I mean? Like, there was two sequences that stood out to me with Pascal where he was trying to attack, you know, didn't get to his spot, kicked it back out, trying to get better position, put his hand up, give him the ball back. And Gary Trent Jr. both times didn't give him the ball back because, you know, maybe he doesn't see what's the specific thing Pascal's trying to do, or maybe he doesn't respect that right now. Or I'm not even saying there's some sort of drama. I'm just saying, like, this is what happens when people are unfamiliar with playing with each other. Because, you know, Gary's probably thinking, okay, this play didn't work. Let's just reset, go to the other side of the floor, do something else. Right. But Pascal's like, no, I'm going to score, give him the ball right now. I'm going to get better post position. You can get the ball back to me. I'm going to try to attack. That kind of stuff needs to work itself out. That stuff needs to be better. I think, honestly, right now, Pascal in the starting five, when he's fully healthy, I still fully believe in this. But at the same time, right now, when he's not at 100% conditioning, the Raptors are losing that aspect of rebounding. Because Pascal doesn't have, to me, it doesn't look like the type of energy you need to crash the glass that hard and then to get back in transition that hard. The Raptors are starting five tonight, 3 offensive rebounds total. That's not enough. And, you know, like, I'm not saying you just start Precious again because he rebounds, or start Kem just because he rebounds, but rebounding was a big part of what the Raptors did well, especially on the offensive glass, to give themselves extra possessions. The Raptors lost the shot battle tonight, the field goal attempt battle, 94-77. You're letting a team take 17 more shots than you. You think you're going to win that game? You're not. You're not. So I think there are some issues to be worked out there. Honestly, I think it feels to me very much as are taking turns in how they attack on the play. And there's not a lot of guys setting each other up. If anything, I thought Pascal did a good job of getting into the paint, a couple of nice dump off passes in the second half. That's something he's capable of, right? When he attacks hard, he usually draws a second defender to him. If someone flashes in that specific moment, like Delano did a few times, like Scotty did a few times, great. They're gonna get baskets, or they're gonna get to the free throw line. That's something to look out for. I thought OG made a couple of nice passes as well, including one where Schroeder pressed up on him on the 3-point line. OG beat him with the handle, immediately attacked downhill, drew two defenders to him, then kicked it to the corner. Fred was waiting there for the three. Great play. I'd love to see more of that. Scotty, I think he lived in the paint tonight. Great job. 7-11 for 21 points is tremendous efficiency. You know, and I think that those are things that the Raptors can do, but like you kind of have to figure out a rhythm and a flow to the thing. I mean, ideally, you can have structure in the offense in terms of like, hey, this is the number one option, this is the number two option, the number three option. But ideally, everyone knows what everyone is doing so that they can adjust and react to each other. I think when you watch the games right now, OG and Fred have a two-man game. Normally, I've seen Fred and Pascal have a pretty good two-man game. I just haven't seen it just yet this season because, you know, they're both coming back. Pascal's just coming back. Scotty kind of plays his own game, not in a bad way, but just like he just reads the game and just plays on instinct, and he's usually pretty good. Like, I thought he missed a couple of one or two like easy shots, and still he was like the most efficient player on the team. But he kind of plays his own game, but sometimes he just decides, I'm going to go in the post and attack. I like that. But I think the rest of the team could just kind of adapt to that, like play around each other. And if anything, to me, it does feel like the starting lineup, at least on paper, not today. You can't see in the results today. But I feel to me like the starting lineup has a lot of play creation, and then the bench has zero play creation. Like a little bit with Banton, but like, I mean, he had 2 points, I think, off a cut, 1 of 4, no assists. That's not a lot of play creation. If anything, Svee is mostly the guy who creates plays off the bench, and Svee is not a play creator. He's a play finisher. We know that, either in transition or off threes or whatever. So yeah, it's tough. I don't know. It's a bit of an awkward construction so far. Of course, you need to sort of see how this group gels. That's the thing. I would give this group at least 5 games, 6 games, see how it works out, if not more, if not like 10 games. Because it's not like it shouldn't work on paper. And of course, even if you put all the playmaking, the starting lineup, doesn't mean as a coach, you can't stagger the minutes to make sure you have two creators on the floor at all times. I think Nick, defensively, is where he's trying to think mostly, but then what he tries to do offensively is to keep at least two shooters on the floor. Ideally, you have 3 or 4 or 5, really. But five is impossible for this team. They don't have a three-point shooting big. So four at most, but mostly three in the starting five. And then when they come to the bench units, he likes to have at least two of Svi, Gary, Fred, and OG on the floor at the same time. So that's fine. But I think, to be honest, the other thing to manage is defensively. Like, I don't know if they're just losing faith in some of that stuff. But, like, I don't want to see, like, Fred, Malachi, and Svi just because you need shooting on the floor. That lineup's not going to work defensively. And they got punished. Like, guys were just throwing up, like, even Fred, who I really enjoyed defensively, guys were just throwing up, like, even Marcus Smart was posting up and taking turnaround jumpers over him. Like, you need more size. You just do. There's no point for this team to play if you're not going to play the size. That's the whole point of this team, is that they have length and arms everywhere. So you can't take that strength away from the team. So before we go, I want to get to the three stars. First star in this game, we give to Scotty Barnes, 21 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, 3 turnovers was regrettable, but 32 minutes, 7 of 11 from the field, 7 of 8 from the free throw line. No arguments whatsoever for this game from Scotty. Lived in the paint, played in the paint. I loved it. Play more through Scotty. I'm going to be just like Nick Nurse. Take more shots. Second star for me, I'm going to go to Fred VanVleet, I guess. 16 points, 3 rebounds, 6 assists, 3 steals, a block. The block, naturally, just like all of Fred's blocks, it was a strip against Robert Williams. Williams looked like he had a free dunk. Fred stripped him as he went up with the ball. Sparked a fast break. That was great to see. I want to see more aggression from Fred. I understand the other guys are working their way in, but Fred is absolutely the leader of this team. I want to see him more aggressive, like that Washington game, like the Indiana games, like the Orlando games. Keep going through Fred. I understand everyone else is back, but you know, you still need your main guy to be your main guy. And then your third star, I mean, it's tough to pick. Maybe I'll... Yeah, I don't know, man. I think third star, I guess I'll give it to OG. 14 points, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal, a block, 36 minutes, 6 of 14. Wasn't the greatest game, but spent a lot of time guarding Tatum. Tatum was 8 of 24. Had that really nice pass. Made a couple of plays in transition. Would love to see the three-point shot fall for him a little bit more, but, you know, I can't complain. This is not a bad game necessarily from OG. In terms of your Gerald Henderson Award winner, that's got to go to Josh Richardson for me. Dennis Schroeder had a real chance at it, but he does have 8 turnovers. 15 points for Josh Richardson, though. 3 rebounds and assists, 3 steals, a block. Shot the ball well, shot the mid-range well. Just hurt the Raptors a lot. The Raptors didn't have any bench scoring to sort of match what Josh Richardson did. Plus, he was contributing defensively. So good for him, man. But that does it for this game. Thanks, Warren, for listening. Once again, I'd like to remind you that the Raptors show airs weekdays from 2 to 3 p.m. and also on Saturdays with Alex Wong from 12 to 1 p.m. And you can listen to the Raptors Reaction Podcast after every single Raptors game. And, of course, you can find all of these shows on your favorite podcast app. Just look for The Raptor Show with Will Liu. So thanks, everyone, for listening. Thanks, everyone, for calling and texting in. And I'll check back in after the next game tomorrow.